You don't have to be a rocket scientist to help realize a mission to Mars. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to Trillions. I'm Joel Weber.
And I'm Eric Balchunas.
Award season, Eric, at ETF.com. I didn't know that this exists, but every year there are ETF industry awards.
Yeah. ETF.com was once known as Index Universe. They're kind of the OGs of being on top of the ETF industry, in my opinion. And ETF.com has ETF awards. And yours truly is a judge. I think I've been a judge for 2 or 3 years. So it's kind of fun getting to vote. The nominees are all logical to me. Every now and then one squeezes in that's like the indie feel-good hit of the year. Then there's some of the more standard ones. It's really a lot like the Oscars, to be honest with you. And usually there's a surprise or two. There's a Lifetime Achievement Award, Best New ETF, Best Ticker. It's really fun. You know, most people, when they hear that, they're like, come on, there's an ETF awards show?
And, of course there is.
Yeah, but this industry just feels right for this industry for me. So I get it, and I think it's fun.
So we're going to go through just a couple handfuls of the recipients, the award winners. And joining us from ETF.com, we've got Kristen Myers, who's the editor-in-chief, and Lucy Brewster, the finance reporter. This time on Trillions. And the winner is... Kristen, Lucy, welcome to Trillions.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, how many years has this been happening?
So the awards have been happening 10 years running. Wow. But this is about the second or third awards, I would say, really, since we kind of had this huge brand relaunch of ETF.com.
Okay, and there's a ton of categories, 17 different categories. We're going to go over 10 or so, I think. How many finalists were there? Nominees?
So we got about 1,700 nominees.
Wow.
If I remember, it definitely was over 1,400.
Is it just people nominating themselves, though?
You can nominate yourself.
Okay.
You can only nominate yourself once. So we do actually strip out the multiple nominations that do inevitably come up. And then we, as the editorial team, whittled that down to 85 finalists, essentially. And then we kicked it over to Eric and 6 other judges who took that 85 and brought that list down to 17.
I had to have been pretty desperate for Eric to get invited back.
I just voted for my friends.
Yeah.
No, I really try to be objective.
And Bloomberg, by the way, was nominated for a couple of these categories.
Well, just one.
One. You abstained from that category.
Yeah.
And we got shut out, so giving away the answer.
Shutout's a little rough. I don't know how many of the 6 voted.
Okay, we didn't get that one.
We didn't get that award.
Okay, all right. That was the disclaimer. Okay, we're going to start with Best New Active ETF, and we're going to go kind of like reverse to end with ETF of the Year. So Best New Active ETF. Is that like Best Supporting Actress or something, maybe, Eric?
I'd say so, yeah. This is a big one, because active's the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
The whole industry is just loving that active's getting popular. Mm-hmm. To me, this is one of the hotter categories.
And who won that, Lucy?
Yeah, absolutely. The Best New Active ETF went to the AB Disruptors ETF, ticker FWD. And yeah, as we all know, AI was a huge story of the past year. So it made sense they won, but it was a competitive category. I mean, Pangram was nominated. Their ETF ticker CLOZ, the Fidelity Disruptive Technology ETF, FDTX. Yeah, but the winner was the AB Disruptors
ETF. And you all don't know how close this was.
We don't. And I should, because people ask me this question and have asked this question quite a lot. We obviously know why we took the list down from more than 1,000 down to 85. But when it comes to the final 5 noms in any of the categories, because we have about 5 in every single category, we actually don't know how the judges are actually voting, what makes one ETF or one fund really kind of clinch that top spot over another one. So, Eric, I'm actually curious to know, when you're looking at a category like Best New Active, like what is something that kind of stands out to you above the others?
I try to look for something that's either novel, pushes the envelope in something like this, because active is sort of a newer space, or if something punches a little above its weight, maybe it's more organic, the flows, rather than, say, just because they have a lot of distribution. So I tend to not vote for, like, the comic book movies, if you will. You know, right. I'm not going to vote for the Marvels or whatever for Best Picture. That's not my style. So I do try to reward innovation and sort of indie breakthrough. And then every now and then, something's just so powerful that you have to just be like, yeah, I can't deny that, even if it is the big guy.
Right.
What did you think of this class of nominee in this one?
I can't remember who I voted for, but I will say this. AB Disruptors and Fidelity Disruptors, I mean, Kathy Wood has to be loving this, because these are really, she really blazed that path. And she used to work at AllianceBernstein. In fact, they wouldn't launch an ETF back when she was there, so she left to start her own shop. They finally launched one. I guess better late than never. So I think she gets a win there. And then, to me, the most interesting one probably is the CLO. CLOs are interesting. They have that bad reputation from the financial crisis, but they have a lot of really good attributes for a portfolio. They were one of the best fixed income performers last year, low vol. I just not sure how much advisors understand them, but that is a hot little area there. I like that something like that gets in there. I like that it's not all of the big companies, which the other companies are real big. Panagram is like total indie.
And Panagram actually pops up a couple of times in the final noms list, actually, when it came to this year's awards. They did pretty well for an indie shop. They made a really strong showing this year.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Okay. Well, let's see if they
Napoleon Dynamite
the trophy somewhere else. Best new U.S. equity ETF. Who is the winner in this category, Lucy?
Yeah, so I announced this category, and the Fidelity Disruptive Technology ETF, ticker FDTX, won. And that was actually converted from a mutual fund in 2023, so it was technically a new ETF. And
that's kind of an interesting little asterisk there, I guess. Like, it technically is a new ETF,
yeah.
Yes, and we've been talking about conversions forever.
Yeah, it's more like it was born on third base.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it was interesting. I was up there announcing it, and there were some boos in the audience when we announced the winner of this ETF, which was definitely interesting.
So a couple theories there. I know John Davi was there. Maybe it was him because the story was on this list. John's a New Yorker. You know, I could see him sort of maybe getting
being
there.
Vocal.
But,
yeah.
Rex and Roundhill GMO was in that category, too. But there's a story kind of circulating that Fidelity is charging a new, like a surcharge for ETF issuers, sort of right. Like a fee to be on its platform. And it has kind of irritated some of the smaller issuers. So it's pretty possible that that was them expressing their displeasure. But I will say,
I love the drama at the award show.
I think,
yeah.
Award show, they need that. You know, yeah. Ricky Gervais was so good for the Golden Globes. He made stuff really
yeah.
kind of, and then Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. You need these moments, I think, at an award show. So I'm sure Fidelity didn't like
not
it, but
sure
I think it's good for you
not
guys.
Not sure this rises to that level, but sure.
Yeah.
Drama.
This is the only amount of kind of drama you could expect from an ETF.com awards. No. We're like the Oscars
yeah.
for
yeah.
ETFs.
How about this?
But
the rowdiest, you're going to see the crowd.
But there was booing
yeah, but
in
you
the
have
crowd
to lower your whole entire standards. For the financial industry, it is pretty juicy.
Yeah, okay.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to help realize a mission to Mars. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Okay, next one. Best new smart beta or factor ETF. Kristen, who won this one?
Yeah, so the winner of this category was Avantis All Equity Markets Value ETF. That's ticker AVGV. Obviously, we were chatting about this a little bit earlier. And I mean, if we go back to just even that last category, there has been this push now into those active ETFs, right? And so this, the best new smart beta is essentially all about that kind of push because it's a cheap way to get actively managed ETFs.
Yeah, and Avantis, Joel, is sort of run by a guy who left DFA, and it's kind of factory active, obviously, but this is, to me, Avantis is the tip of the spear of cheap active. Active now, like Avantis, most of their active ETFs are below 20 basis points. So if you're an advisor, you know they love cheap stuff, right? They're willing to buy active, but they want it sort of priced to acknowledge that beta is free. And so as active goes through this painful process of like beta adjusting their fees down lower, I think they're going to sell more. And Avantis shows this, Capital Group shows this, JP Morgan shows this. Avantis, though, probably deserves even extra credit because the type of flows they're taking in are enormous for a company that it doesn't have that brand name of those other guys. So I think deserved here.
Was that like best animation, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, best animated film. Okay, this one I feel like
slightly above best editor.
I'm curious how you're gonna react to this next one, Kristen. Let's stay with you. Best new ESG ETF. Who won this?
All right, best new ESG ETF. That award winner went to the Xtrackers MSCI USA Climate Action Equity ETF. That ticker is USCA. Really interesting category for this one. And Lucy, I know you have a couple of thoughts. She was talking about ESG ETFs recently. Everyone loves to hate ESG ETFs. Well, they love to hate ESG, period. And they really love to hate ESG
ETFs. Listen, I was a hater before it was cool.
Yeah.
He knows.
Eric started, kicked it off.
Yeah, he was critical.
People are growing, Joel.
Well, it's interesting because this one, has accumulated $1.5 billion in assets over a time period where overall the category has been seeing outflows,
really
closures.
Eric,
why?
I
set it up
David.
For you to slap them
why
down.
Heavy hate.
Because this was launched, and iShares launched one, Climate Action, for this European institution who is currently in two, who had seeded an iShares and a Xtrackers, one that was called ESG. For whatever reason, and they're both sensitive about this, they didn't like ESG. So these two firms came out with Climate Action, and the firm simply moved all their money out of the ESG ones into the Climate Action one. So my interpretation was that ESG, the term, is getting a lot of baggage, and people would rather be in something that doesn't have that in the name to avoid all the controversy.
Right, yeah.
And so in a way, this should win because it is indicative of what we call the rebranding of ESG.
Yeah.
So this is what I love about the ETF.com awards, to kind of take a broader look for a really quick second, because so many of these awards, even though it was in the year 2024, we were looking at the performance and everything like that for the year 2023. So these awards are, in a way, a look back, but they're also a really nice way to also look forward, right? You kind of can see the trends and where the market is going and how investors are thinking with these awards. But to Eric's point about how ESG kind of is a almost like a scarlet letter for a lot of folks. And so, it is ESG though. I mean, by its definition, if you think about what ESG really stands for, I mean, that is essentially what it is.
It's interesting. If you look at these nominees, I mean, barely, they don't even have ESG in the name of the funds. And I think it goes to what you're saying is, I think a lot of firms are kind of putting the ESG label out to pasture because they're aware of the baggage that's coming along with it, but it's how much are the actual strategies going to transform, or are they kind of just dropping the label?
It is interesting that none of the nominees in the ESG had ESG in the name.
Yeah, none of them.
Note actually, to self, I may put that in a note. That is really interesting and kind of proves our take, which was we thought, and ESG is going to live on. I think it's going to be 1-2% of assets. They're going to try all these different kinds of names. Smart Beta went through this. When Smart Beta was popular, everybody hated the name Smart. They're like, it's not always smart, and it was a whole thing. And then it kind of found its like niche, and people moved on to the next hot thing. ESG, I think, is going into that space of just, okay, it exists. We don't need to debate it much anymore. The one that didn't win is the carbon neutral power futures. That's kind of an interesting one. It's like electricity futures, Joel. Not exactly ESG, more of a play on the actual electricity market.
Another one.
I think
here.
I might have voted for that one.
And vets as well.
And vets.
Another one. Heat, Touchstone Climate Transition ETF. I'm going to use that as a way to transition us into the new ETF ticker of the year. Heat shows up not only in best new ESG, it also was nominated for best ETF ticker of the year. Kristen, did it win?
No.
Oh, who won?
It did not win. That one went to the theme cybersecurity ETF, ticker SPAM, SPAM.
Oh,
I know.
So good.
That is good. We just had one of the nominees on, the music guy,
music,
MUSQ,
yeah,
a couple weeks ago. Bucks is on there. That's a bond ETF. SPAM for cybersecurity. That won, obviously. And it's interesting, Joel. I've always told you my favorite ticker is HACK, which is a cybersecurity ETF. Cybersecurity
is just between hack and spam.
It's just well made for good ticker
just
names.
Perfect. It's custom made for cool tickers.
Yes.
I still like hack better than spam by a little, but spam's good.
I will say that my head went to spam, not the type in your inbox, but spam in a can.
It's funny you say that. I also thought of that, and I've never eaten spam, so I don't know why that's where my mind
went. Does it repel you at all? Because spam isn't exactly like something you want to eat.
You know what, though? It's also not the thing you want to click on.
I heard it's delicious, though. A lot of people talk about it.
It has a following.
So I have a question. If you guys had to make a ticker name, what would the ticker be?
We ask the questions on the show.
Well, I know yours. Easy.
I might have.
His idea is to have everything in one shot and call it easy.
Yeah.
And like, easy, what does it hold? Everything.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah.
It's a powerful message.
It may have its downsides.
Well, the problem is advisors don't want to do that. They want to hold multiple things so it looks like they're doing something.
Yeah. Easy button. So, no, I just think
it's too good, Joel.
Just make it easy for folks. I have kind of a new addendum after 7 years of the podcast. And this is very New York centric, where I think the phone book inspired a certain type of business name, which was like ABC and then like mechanic, right? Like,
you know what's really sad? This is going over Lucy's head because she's so young. She doesn't what's remember a phone book.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you even know what a phone book is? You ever handled one?
I'm aware of the concept, but I haven't.
You never touched the phone book.
Why would you create you ever, this?
Okay.
I haven't book personally.
Of like, why would you do that?
Why would you do that instead of just using your iPhone? Yeah. I don't understand the concept. But
aware of the concept. I feel terrible. Now.
So the only thing better than like ABC.
Have you ever been in a payphone and gone through a phone book?
What's a phone book?
You know how the payphones used to have phone books sitting there?
Yes, I do remember.
And they were chained. Yeah. You know what's crazy?
They
were chained to
the New York.
They were chained inside.
I mean, those things people take pictures of.
Now I just feel old.
You ever made a collect call from a phone booth? That's a whole another level of low.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No comment. Definitely when
the
90s, when I was
man,
younger.
They were fun.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, that does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
Kind of multiple different ways. Okay, so this little drum roll, I feel like we're getting to the second half. We're going to do ETF Issuer of the Year, which I feel like this is like...
That's a big one.
Best studio, I guess, something like that. That's not even an award.
I'd put up maybe best screenplay or writer.
Okay. Lucy, the winner is?
Yeah, so for ETF Issuer, the winner was Dimensional Fund Advisors, which, you know, they're known for active management, which is, like we mentioned earlier, really been a huge theme of the past year. And, you know, they launched in 2020, so they've really picked up steam. They have 38 funds and $100 billion in assets. So, you know, it was a competitive category. We saw Invesco in there, VanEck, Franklin Templeton, but, Dimensional won.
Kristen, were you surprised?
A little bit. So I actually really love this because it's a little bit like the Cinderella story. I don't know if I would call DFA truly like, you know, a sort of, and when I say Cinderella story, I mean kind of like, you know, March Madness type of Cinderella story. But I mean, really think about it. Again, they've only been launching ETFs now for, at the time, 3 years, right? Because this was, again, for categories that happened for 2023. And they're going up against Fidelity. They're going up against Invesco. They're going up against VanEck. These are obviously really huge institutions that have been doing this for such a long time. I love that kind of, again, I don't know if I want to call them an underdog, but a little bit of an underdog, really, when you compare it to some of those bigger players.
Fidelity's in this. Was
Capital
a finalist
Group is
in
the
Vesco,
biggest active
Capital Group,
in the world. I agree, a little underdogish. If ARK kind of said that active can succeed, it's almost like DFA came and just like built a whole highway.
Right.
Because DFA has shown, again, that if you lower your fees enough, you can really sell almost anything. Because remember, smart beta was around for a while, but it wasn't until it got cheap that it started to see success. Same with ESG. In fact, Vanguard, their index funds charged 60 basis points when they first started. It wasn't until they crossed the 20 basis point line in like the late 90s, 2000s, that they took off. So the moral of the story is, whatever you have, if you can get that fee under 20 bips, you're going to start to move product. And DFA also has a really big brand name for advisors. So, and DFA, when they launched their ETFs, they almost unexclusivized, because you used to have to be like a member of the DFA network. But if ETF, anybody can buy it. So I agree with this winner. It feels right to me. But you're right. It's a tough category.
That implies that there was a winner that you didn't agree with somewhere. Oh, no comment. just going to kind of
I'm just going to try to be nice.
Yeah, okay, all right. All right, Lucy, sticking with you. The best thematic ETF of the year?
The Sprott Uranium Miners ETF, ticker URNM. And yeah, I mean, they're one of the only funds. Yeah, they're one of the only funds offering exposure to uranium. And, you know, the performance was, you know, doubled the return of the S&P 500.
Uranium absolutely took off in 2023. I think it was over.
It feels like it's been taking off multiple times.
You guys weren't there yet. Let me take you back to right before COVID. This is January 2020, right? When I still thought it wasn't going to be a big deal. Remember that? Anyway, I'm on stage at ETF.com conference. You guys weren't there yet. And the analysts have to present their best new ETF idea. I presented URNM. It had just come off a huge bear market, and I called it Green Investing for Realists. Because if you want to get to net zero, you got to have nuclear. I was like, this is also obvious. Bill Gates is saying the same thing. I didn't win. But since then, my ticker, URNM, crushed everybody.
So this is your comeback story.
Really, you won, Aaron.
Vindication.
You should have been on
you
stage.
You should have gotten up and taken the little plaque for this.
I should have. I should have been part of the team that went up.
So yeah, does you should
that
have taken you, the microphone
does that
from
mean
them.
You voted from Sprott? Does that mean you voted
like Kanye and Taylor Swift?
Yeah. I deserve this.
It feels like he's voting for this to keep his finger on the scale about how smart I was like years ago.
Well, I think it is a good story. The other thing I like about this, we just did a study of like, if you look at all the ETFs that have closed, a lot of times their performance gets better after they close than in their life. You know why? Because they launch at the peak of these trends. URNM stuck out to me because it launched after like a 10-year bear market. And I was like, I never saw that. And I was like, I kind of trust it. So you launch when it's bad and you just wait for the ball to get kicked to that part of the soccer field. And then boom, you got this huge run up. And URNM, I think, also was novel in that department.
I mean, their performance, I'm looking right now, their one-year performance, over 71%, almost 72%.
Yeah. You've got a fixed amount of this.
And
this
to
supply.
Beat AIQ is big because AIQ is doing real AI and tech ETF. That's the best-selling AI ETF right now. That's the hottest topic. So URNM had tough competition in here.
Okay, best new U.S. fixed income ETF. Kristen, you want to take that one?
All right, let's go down this list. Okay, so best new U.S. fixed income ETF, that went to the Vanguard Short-Term Tax Exempt ETF. VTES is the ticker. This is a tough category. I think fixed income anything right now.
It's kind of the year of fixed income.
Oh,
right?
Man. Investors in fixed income have really been getting battered and bruised lately, I think.
It's also fixed income.
But we've seen a ton of interest
editing.
In this category,
fixed income
right?
is editing.
Ton of interest in this category.
Yeah.
So why this one?
The competition wasn't that fierce. All these companies are interesting, Calamos, BondBlocks, but the ETFs picked, I could see why Vanguard won. Plus, you know, Vanguard's like Daniel Day-Lewis. If he's nominated for like seven, he's got to win something. He's just too good, right? Vanguard always takes in the most flows. They should win something or it's a little weird, right? So I think you have to give Vanguard some award somewhere. And this thing, I haven't looked, but whenever they launch an ETF, they only launch like one a year maybe. It's going to be like billions of dollars. So makes sense. Vanguard got a little bone here.
Okay. So I think we're going to have a pause right before we do the big part.
Was there musical entertainment at the show? Like, you know how they do at the Oscars?
I mean, other than me singing.
Yeah.
I did not sing. I did not sing.
An impromptu performance by Kristen.
I did actually, you know what's really interesting? I did actually have a bunch of issuers give me one line best freestyle rap. I
really?
Know. You seem
TikTok.
Surprised. Yeah. And I got some really good ones.
Really?
Yeah.
So wait, they sent you a line of rap?
No, I literally just doorstepped
They were
them.
On the spot.
On the spot. I said, I want you to freestyle your best one line rap about finance or investing or about your ETF. And I have to tell you, the best raps that we got came from an issuer that actually performed very well in this awards.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away. I'll circle back to it later. But
this is on stage or off stage?
Off stage.
Okay. Well, that kind of stuff, I think, can help because there are certain times that's not appropriate. But at this seems to be like something where it's appropriate. You know the financial follies? That's that thing for
nerd, the nerd prom, finance prom.
You could be like the new financial follies. You know what you should consider doing is having some kind of a theatrical skit or even there's a lot of like BlackRock has a band. You could have the BlackRock band play.
Listen,
I don't know. The ideas
we are we are way ahead of you. So I want to. Okay. I just want to let you know that next year in 2025, like you heard it here first, the ETF.com awards are going to be crazy.
If you think they were crazy this year, just wait
another. Booing.
Just wait. Just wait till next year.
Just wait another 365 days or whatever.
Put BlackRock and Vanguard together in their seats.
Just mark your calendars now.
You got some strategic moves like that. Okay,
bringing
really
it
help.
Back to the.
Yeah, we didn't think there
awards.
Was enough open conflict at this one, so we're gonna really try to play that out next year.
Good.
This podcast is brought to you by Invesco QQQ. What do all the greatest innovations have in common? Agents, people who participate in progress by supporting cutting-edge ideas. Invesco QQQ is a fund that allows you access to innovators of the NASDAQ 100 all in one fund. So you don't have to be an inventor to help create what's next to come. Anyone can become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. There are risks when investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETF risks are similar to those of stocks. Investments in the tech sector are subject to greater risk and more volatility than more diversified investments. The NASDAQ 100 index comprises the 100 largest non-financial companies on the NASDAQ. You can't invest directly into an index. Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit Invesco.com for a prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully before investing. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Okay, bringing it back to the 2024 awards. Last three things. We're going to start with Lifetime Achievement Award.
Mm. Oh.
Lucy, who won that?
Jan Vanek won. And yeah, I mean, he wasn't
bad
present.
For the other people who are nominated.
I mean, it was everyone who was nominated, I mean, was... This was is,
does it mean that next year...
We'll get their flowers,
you're scratched?
I feel like.
Well, or do you just keep having to re-up yourself?
But think about it. This is one of those categories where, you know, everyone says that it's an honor just to be nominated. And they don't really mean it because they really just want to win. But I actually think when it comes to the Lifetime Achievement Award category, it really is an honor to be nominated for your colleagues and your peers to say, you have done such an incredible job and so much work in this space.
It feels like the one award where... Maybe don't reveal who the nominees are. Just acknowledge who the winner is.
No, you
I feel
have
like
to.
People
you
are
have
happy to be nominated.
Yeah, I think you're happy to be nominated.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Do you know that I was nominated for this twice?
No.
And oh, how did you feel?
Yeah. I did not know that. I was not trying to make you feel better.
So I can give you first person account of how it feels. I was honestly just honored to be there. I felt too young. I was like, I'm not done yet. That said, I was like, that's kind of cool because for my age, I'm like, I'll take it. But the two people, I think Reggie Brown won instead of me 1 year and Matt Hogan won the other year. It was when their name was called, I felt a little rejected, but just for a second, it wasn't bad. But here we've got Andrew Schlossberg, president of Invesco, Bob Pisani, who does the CNBC ETF show, Hunter Horsley, Bitwise CEO, Joanna Gallegos from BondBlocks, who has had a great career. She's been really around for a while. Rory Tobin of Global Head of Spider. So Jan Vanek is such a great guy. You know, it's a tough category, but somebody has to win. And how was his speech?
So it was actually really good. He gave us his speech virtually. And one, it was kind of just, you know, obviously thanking the entire crowd for nominating him and for his win. But also in a kind of a way, a call to action for investors and for also, you know, the issuers in the space to really, again, to continue to innovate, to continue to provide really, you know, value for their clients and for investors. But then he also mentioned a sort of like call to philanthropy as well, that everyone in the room should really be thinking about the world around them, the investors that they're really working for and trying to essentially deliver the most for them.
Okay. Last two. We're going to do best
drum
new,
roll.
Yeah.
Drum Who roll. Wants to make the drum roll noise?
Best new... There it is. There Thank you, Lucy. Best new ETF. Lucy, do you want to do the honors?
And the winner...
It's a little slow.
Was...
It's a little slow. You need to... Yeah, there you go.
And the winner was the Roundhill Magnificent 7 ETF, ticker MAGS.
Nice. What?
Yeah.
Shocker, Joel.
Yeah, I know. Kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
No-brainer. I think that's a shocker.
Really? Why?
Roundhill?
I mean...
I mean...
They're the first.
They were the first.
Oh, this is best
to track,
new ETF.
Yeah, best new ETF. The first ETF still. To track the Mag 7 stocks.
They kicked off the Magnificent 7.
Here's why. The Qs and some of these big ETFs, they're kind of a Magnificent 7 anyway. This basically took something that you're already loaded up on and said, let's just do that. And it's proof you can really try anything. Because it's not that, it's just a slight step away from the Qs, which I think are like 40% Magnificent 7 stocks. God bless them.
But Fang was yesterday and Mag 7
True.
Is today.
It's a sign
tomorrow,
of the times
so,
for sure.
Right.
They also did Chat, which is an AI ETF. They were nominated for two. That's interesting. Has that ever happened in the Oscars where someone's nominated for two at the same time?
I'm going to go with yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems likely.
I will say,
that's pretty badass.
That's something that a couple of nominees appear more than once. You can appear in more than one category, and you are allowed to have, as an issuer, more than one ETF in every single category.
One of the nominees, Joel, we had a whole episode on, Tejual, which is the Innovator Equity Defined Protection ETF. That's the one that says, we promise you'll never lose money, and you'll get 16% every 2 years. Remember?
Yeah.
And it was like, that caused all kinds of controversy on Twitter.
Sounds like too good to be true still. When you hear it like that.
It does.
Year to date, they're up less than 1.5%. Yeah. So
there you have it. Okay. Now, the big reveal. ETF of the year. Kristen, did you know in advance?
I knew some of them.
Okay.
I knew some of them. Okay. And the winner is, that was Pacer U.S. Small Cap Cash Cows 100 ETF, ticker CALF. They really should have nominated themselves, I think, in the best ticker name. But yeah, CAF. So I should also mention Pacer. The Pacer folks also have the best freestyle raps.
Oh, there you were saving it for the...
about not only their ETF, but also about their their company.
Eric loves this one.
This is a worthy winner to me.
I agree with you.
Let
me give you some facts on CAF. I think I voted for it. I can't remember. But CAF, first of all.
That's not a fact. I don't like a fact to share. Like, share is something worthwhile.
Let me start again. Or keep it. I don't care. We're being human here. You know? Okay. Is this human enough? Okay.
Yeah, it's a little too human.
Okay. CAF is like the little brother of CALS.
Yeah.
CALS is this cash flow ETF. To me, this is the arc of the Fed raising rates cycle. So when Fed raised rates, ARC kind of went in the gutter. And CALS became the new darling. Indie kind of issuer that came out of nowhere, took in money hand over fist. So they're like, oh my God, we've got CALS. Let's do this for small caps. We'll launch CAF. And CAF just took off. CAF has taken in money like... I think it took in money for 100 days straight once. It's taken in money for 40 months straight, and it's all organic. And all it does is look for free cash flow of companies, which is a metric that everyone's gone gaga over.
Small cap companies.
Small caps. The big one does large caps. But listen to this stat. CAF is small caps only, but outperformed the S&P.
Well,
that's crazy because it's within small caps. Small caps, everybody knows, has trailed the S&P by a lot. But it picked the right ones that it actually beat the S&P. All this is really hard to do for an issuer that isn't like a gargantuan size. So
that's why I love this winner. One, because I just love the small cap story in general.
And they drop beats.
Yeah, and they drop mad sick beats. But I love the small cap story in general. I mean, I think in 2023 with the market performance, obviously kind of like really like that bull kind of getting out of the pen and starting to run, I think people really ignored.
I see what you just did right there.
I know, right?
That was good.
I know. I'm going to give you all cattle-based references now for this. But honestly, I think people were kind of ignoring small caps. But I mean, what kind of is a drop in the ocean becomes a wave for small caps. And I just really think that CAF kind of rode that wave. And I think small caps are also something that in 2024, a lot of investors are going to really be looking into. And so what excites me about CAF and just in general with a lot of the winners that we're seeing, I'm curious to know which of them are not, I don't want to say flashes in the pan, but really captured a moment in time in 2023. But don't do well in 2024, considering the changing market environment that we have right now. And for me, when I look at CAF, I'm really curious to see how they perform in 2024, since so many investors are starting to say, hey, maybe we should actually take a look at small caps.
Yeah. I agree. The other ones are mostly large cap. JEPQ, QQQM, RSP, and BitQ, Bitcoin Industry Miners. That was a little bit of a test because as these nominees came out, Bitcoin had exploded.
Yeah.
But it didn't make its way in here because it was all 2024. So I was curious if crypto would actually win this category just because Bitcoin was hot. But it's probably best it didn't. I think next year you could see more of the Bitcoin stuff.
Yeah, next year definitely. We'll have to do like a crypto category.
Probably.
Yeah, I think we will.
I think you just have to make a new one.
Yeah, and I think it was cool too because, I mean, as we mentioned, AI and Mag7 was such sort of people think of the story of 2023. So to have this ETF win and really focus on, you know, small cap and just have such a unique and effective strategy, I thought that was really cool.
All right. It's a question we often ask on the show at the end. Lucy, Kristen, what's your favorite ETF ticker? Lucy, you can go first.
My favorite ETF ticker? I think off pure, fun. I think Hack is fun. I like some of the spot Bitcoin tickers. I think the VanEck HODL is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I like the nods to the culture in the ticker. Yeah.
Kristen?
Oh, mine sounds so boring now. Jets. JETS.
It's fine.
It's a favorite. It's a favorite.
It's, well, I, well, one, I in
Are
general.
Are you a Jets fan?
I, like the football team?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, good.
Wait, just checking.
No. Giant. I'm a Giants
Lucky
girl.
You.
I'm a Giants girl. I do have friends that play on the Jets, so I kind of am like, yeah, I support the Jets whenever I see them playing. But yeah. I like Jets. I love the travel industry. Yeah, I love the travel industry in general. I love and the airlines, the airliners, and it's just such an easy ticker name to remember. And Jets.
Love that. All right.
I think Jets won two or three years ago. It had to. It had a great year.
I believe it
right
did.
Right around COVID, yeah.
Okay, Lucy, Kristen, thanks so much for joining us on Trillions.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to Trillions. Until next time, you can find us on the Bloomberg Terminal, Bloomberg.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you'd like to listen. We'd love to hear from you. We're on Twitter. I'm at Joel Weber Show. He's at Eric Balchunas. This episode of Trillions was produced by Magnus Hendrickson. Bye!
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to help realize a mission to Mars. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc.